living and working, that you have revealed yourself, that you give what's free so that we don't have to solve all these problems, that we can listen. And when we go back and forth from like not hearing things and being sketchy to all of a sudden we feel it and we feel the weight and we think, I'm not growing, I'm not changing, I'm not getting it, I'm not understanding, maybe I should. And then we feel the full weight. Lord, would you help us to have healthy guilt? But would you help us to have healthy submission to you? Trust, you are the one that knows all. And you've made us to live, to grow, to change, to be able to just be amazed. Recognize it's not something that if we get amazed by a book or a secular story or a movie or something, Father, that's something that we've created. But you are uncreated. As a Father, I pray for us to follow our thoughts back, not just to fear or what am I not doing right or insecurity, but to the privilege of being able to look to you and to be able to be in awe and to be able to know that you are not just a being and that you are not just right and wrong, but that you care for us and that you are calling us to have a relationship with you. And we're not just doing you a favor to do this prayer thing. It's the privilege of knowing that we're not alone and that you hear us and that you have given provision for us to do your impossible will. So, Father, thank you for today. We're reporting for duty, and we pray for the sickness, pray for others away. Would you help us, Lord, as we take our little deck of cards and we prioritize. And, Father, would you help us listen to one another, but then would you take our deck before you and shift our priorities slowly and help us know how to deal with each other. First of all, being okay to realize that we're all at different places. But then, Father, we would pray for the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the faith. We pray for that. And we thank you for this process that we can continue right here, right now. And pray for other Bible-believing churches, Spirit-filled churches. We're praying, Father, for that work in around the country here and around the world. We thank you, Father, that not trying to eliminate brokenness or to get it all perfectly. That's you and in heaven. But, Father, you want your people to see your glory and to proclaim it. So we pray for that work of worship today in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Galatians chapter 4. We're just meandering through a couple passages here. As we said, okay, fine, we've talked about it. We've talked about what we think discipleship is. Remember, we're trying to clear our palate, okay? Okay, we're trying to clear our palate, all right? If we look to these passages and you go, oh, yeah, I like that passage. Oh, yeah, this one has been a good passage for me. It's like, no, if you don't put on the wall what you think being a disciple is, and what you think making a disciple is, well, then you're not going to be able to see what you need to reorganize or reprioritize when we look at these passages. You're just going to see what you already see, okay? You're going to see what you see. I'm going to see what I see. It's easier for you to say that. You go, John David's always on this theme. Okay, well, you're always on some other theme, either in your head or else out loud, okay? And so our goal then is to put it up on the wall, right? And so when you hear me say things like we're sinning in our priorities, all right, I don't say that because that's the only sin. We're sinning all over the place. But with our priority, we are not disciple-making the way Jesus called us to, okay? But there's not an easy solution to that. You rightfully said that how you disciple others is how you're going to view being a disciple. And you know, that happens in your head. It's what you notice about me and other people in here is what you're trying to work on in your own life. You go, I never do that. God gave me victory over that. Why is John David doing that? Okay? Now, and one of the ways that you can work on this is bringing it to the surface. So we did that. We put it on the wall of what is making disciples of Jesus include, okay? And then we start looking at these passages. What else does it include? What are these focuses here? If we were going to hold Paul's hand and walk with him, what would be, what he'd be happy about, what he'd be concerned about, what he's busy doing, where he says, you can go to bed now. No, you got to get up now. We got to do this, okay? What is included in disciple making and then being a disciple that perhaps we're a little sloppy with, okay? So there's one some things that you haven't thought of before. That's important. But there's other things, if you're not careful, that you have thought of that you go, oh, yeah, I've thought of that. I didn't ask if you thought of that. I ask if you're doing that. If you're doing that. So Colossians 1, we looked at that one, all right? And then, okay, we did Ephesians, but this is the one. This is the one where we're working on here. So I'm going to read Galatians 4, 10 to 20 here, okay? We're jumping right into the middle of his impassioned plea to these people. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. I beg of you, brethren, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong, but you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time, and that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. But it is good always to be eagerly sought in a commendable manner, and not only when I am present with you, my children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. But I could be wished to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I'm perplexed about you. One more. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? Okay, there it is. Just a little snippet in the middle of a book. And what did you hear included in his relationship with these Galatian believers that is part of his working with them under God to help them follow Jesus? What did you hear? What does it include? And you remember what we're doing? We're doing a couple of things here. We're saying, here's what you hear, okay? Here's what you hear. This is the pyramid, okay? That's the tip of the iceberg. What are all the things that are included in order for you to do this tip of the iceberg, okay? So you just tell me what you're hearing first, but then you need to think, what would that include? What kind of person would have to do that? How would I have to change if I was going to head in that direction of that being part of my disciple making? Short, the easy question, back up. What's included in making disciples inside of here? Attitudes, actions, values, all right? Where is his energy being spent? Tell me what you see. All right, we got heartbreak at there, at times being seen as an enemy, continuing after them, vying for affection. What are you seeing, Jim?
The very beginning, he talks about days and months and seasons, and I'm fearful sometimes that even myself, I look to the four seasons. I love the four seasons of the year, but we put a lot of stock in what the season is. You might complain about every season of the year. I don't know if that fits into this whole.
For them, days, months, and seasons was the Jewish calendar, the festivals, and what was appropriate. We are so far from that as Christians. We have pulled away from that. But you got to realize, why are people running to the Anglican Church, the Episcopal Church, all right? In the middle of everybody going, there's like liberalism in these denominations. People are screaming for some kind of liturgy, right? They're moving to the Catholic Church, right? They're denying everything because I've said it about my kids. My kids did not have the doctrinal foundation that I wish they had. Okay? They're not hungry enough yet. Pyramid, here's where I wish they'd be, but they don't have this and this and this and this and this. Now, some I'm working with my kids on some of these pieces. If they get to these pieces, I believe it'll lead to this. But without these pieces, they can't. It's not as simple as saying, kid, read this book and you'll get it. They have to have enough hunger that they're willing to wade through what they don't think they understand in order to figure out how it will help them worship God, repent, and what ramifications it has for their lives, their choices. How they do the school, how they use their time, how they build relationships, what service for God looks like. They're not there yet, okay? Almost not a single one of them. They're hungrier than others. They're work. All right? Well, that's how I view you as a church. You're not there yet. And there doesn't mean where I am. All right? I hope you see, I stand in the middle. As under-shepherds, we stand in the middle. Gee, the chief shepherd. That is a big thing. But that scares me. And you don't know me if you think that I think me and Jesus are tight. Everything is good there. I am saying be careful before you throw out, because I'm looking at things I don't think you're seeing. And look at that. And that's what I've told you. Follow, you know, it's what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, I've told you, why don't you figure out the things you think are not godly in my life and look at the other things. Do the same for Pastor John. Do the same for the people in here. Okay? But when we're talking about these liturgies, okay, I see, this is one of the reasons why the little bits we have left, all right? Maybe we should, I close my eyes. I don't know what, I didn't look at you, all right? Maybe we should all come, you know, in our pajamas, all right? Or shorts and tank top. Sorry, I'm not looking, all right? Just, I want you to come. But it's one of the reasons we said, can we dress other than, at least for one of the services? You know, is there anything left? Sorry, close my eyes. Keep drinking. It's too far in. We can't stop it. But you realize some of the frustration, I need water or I can't get through a service. I'm closing my eyes, because if you stop just because Pastor John keeps mentioning it, he's annoyed. No, I'm not annoyed. That if we always have to have comfort. See, if you read Keeping Holiday, they're going up the mountain and they're sweating and it's hard, and he goes, here's your drink, here's your chair, here's music about the founder. You can learn everything you need in comfort. You don't have to make it so hard. Is there anywhere that we have reverence that says, not now, I'll do that later? Anywhere. See, if you're not careful, we have little pockets everywhere that go, well, you can't say that, or else you're legalistic. Okay, fine. But if you get done, this one's saying you can't say this. This one's saying you can't say that. This one's saying you can't say this. And we get done, and nobody is, well, you just do what you want. You just do what you want. You just do what you want. How does that work? Eventually, we have to head towards something without it being the center. Without saying, you know, everybody who doesn't pick their nose is more holy. And then I'm out, because I pick my nose. You know it. All right? You know, so we have somewhere, but see, respect, reverence. Somewhere there has to be reverence. You go, well, I show reverence this way. Okay, that's a start. Is there anywhere where we should show reverence? And the reason I'm saying that is because we're over here. The Galatian believers were over here. You want to be judgmental? What in the world? Everybody comes to this area because the Mennonites, and they have all their nice values and all this stuff, and they like all the, it's not like the city and all that stuff. We come in here, and then we pick on the Mennonites, right? And there might be problems. There are, all right, in the gospel. Things did get distorted. On the other side, the first thing we can do, I remember Barb Stauffer saying, as soon as she came out of the Pike Church, one of her cousins, the first thing, can I cut your hair? Can I? It was just like, it's a little doll. It's like, we'll make you look right. You're out. You don't have to do any of that. And I said, slow down, Barb. Slow down. Because, you know, and then give people room. But on the other side, well, they have to find out where they are. Do you realize how deep that's in each of us? Kevin DeYoung's right. Do not be true to yourself. I don't care what you feel comfortable with. And you should say the same right back to me. John David can't be okay with what he's comfortable with, all right? We're looking to him, right? You don't have to change. You have to walk with him. You walk with him and something's going to have to change, right? Either you or him. Either you or him. So here, I just want to say in here, see, there's the extremes for them, all right? What is making disciples include? Wrestling with the center of identity. Put that, Ellie. Wrestling with the center of identity. Okay? For them, they were saying, we have to do this. And this is what we're accused of, which is why I throw it up in front of you. I don't know that we need to have a Sunday night service. I don't know that we have to meet on Wednesday night. I do know that a church that isn't praying together, it isn't healthy. So if you want to meet at Monday morning at 6, yes, what did I say? Wrestling, what? Wrestling for the center of identity. For the center of identity. I do know that you say, well, yeah, I'd rather meet at Monday at 6 for prayer. Okay? And you all know that I hate men's fellowship at 7, and you go, well, that's too late. And it's like, no, it's 3 hours too early. Okay? But we got to do it. We got to mesh somehow. All right? So if it's on Wednesday, and you go, well, we're not praying on Wednesday. Yeah, well, there's a half an hour. That's a good start. Good luck. I dare you to go find another prayer meeting in a non-charismatic circle. All right? I don't agree with the way that the charismatics pray. And it almost becomes a power play and a good luck charm, all right? As they think if you just wrestle it through and work yourself up, that you can get what God has promised somehow. Not comfortable with that. But apart from a charismatic background, I dare you to go find a prayer meeting that's going to be praying mixed up for a half an hour, okay? And maybe it should be more. But we've looked at that as a training ground. I'm not giving up until we meditate on the word together. Whether you memorize the passages or not, what we're doing Wednesday night is trying to say, look at this again. You need to focus on more than just memorizing. You need to be immersed in the scripture, which is what we're trying to do. Okay? So in here, they're wrestling for the center of identity. Where is it? There's piles. All right? Jonathan and then Nicole.
So, reading this passage, the biggest idea that jumps out at me is the preeminency of the gospel displayed in Paul's single-minded focus towards it, and specifically in verse 12, become like me, for I became like you. Well, that's the NIV, but...
Yeah, no, that'll work. That's fine.
He's so focused on this and on caring for disciples that he's willing to condescend and drop to some of their standards in some ways. I'm not sure on the the context of looking at 1 Corinthians 9, but basically, this is so important to him that a lot of the other stuff kind of falls to the wayside. Like, it's not worth me, creating barriers with these
immersed
smaller things. And
among.
And I don't know. That I feel like that's something we need to probably work on a lot.
Which means? All right.
But, yeah.
Okay, immersed among them, which means... Remember we talked in here a while back about first, second, and third tier issues, okay? Which means prioritizing issues underneath the gospel. Okay, remember I've told you an elder isn't the source of truth. God is the source of truth. Goal as an elder here is not just to teach, is to be a thermostat, okay? to keep us heading toward the right goal. Going, whoop, this one's going a little too hard, too fast, too out of here. If we go too far this way, the wheel's going to come off. So you've heard me cynically say, how do we help this body to just do normal sinning? I mean, you're not holy, but we need to be heading towards the one who's holy together, okay? And now you need to look at, who are you not interacting with in here? You can't get to everybody at the level God wants you to, but I'm also concerned when you go, well, I don't want to hear anything from them because they got their life out of line. There's certain people in here you'll accept something other than how are you and how's your day. Somebody actually probing into your life. There's certain other people in here you're not comfortable with. And that's what Jonathan's saying. When you have a mission, not just that whole junk of, I didn't do anything to them and they looked at me funny. What are you doing toward them? What should you be doing toward them? Now Paul, he's saying, the gospel and conveying the gospel to them is so important that he's like, yeah, all right, I know you just cut me down at the knees. Because that's okay, because that's how you value, so all you could hear, all right? For me, a personal thing, you get this, right? All right? I never learned personal space from my parents. You know that. You've heard me say that, right? I never learned personal space. Remember, my college roommates threw me across the room. They said, get away from me. And some of you do the same thing to me now today, all right? My mom has decreased her personal space because she says she can't hear you. So you push her back and she can't hear. But okay, but most of you understand where my mother's coming from. But society somewhere created this cone around you that said, stay out of that, okay? I never learned that. And I think we got to see that's cultural. That's not just my parents being weird. You got to find different cultures or different things with that. Okay. But what that means is when you bump into other people that have cultural things that are differently than yours, you think, I'm really weirded out here. I'm really weirded out. Yeah, she knows. She's going to get used. I'm really weirded out. But somehow, if that's what he's doing, he's not, I know enough about him that he's not trying to weird me. He doesn't even realize he's weirding me out. And then when he does realize it, it takes a while to change. Would you like me to step back? Yes. Oh, okay. We'll try. And you go, John, there you go again. Right? But come on. That's an obvious one, right? And that's some that I do. But what is other people doing that you go, forget it. Forget it. I try. And they always, you see, the gospel is so, so front and center. He's just like, okay, fine. You know, they smell. Fine. They're cutting me apart with my faults. They are in here. They're saying he's wrong and he's misguided. They're throwing him to the side. And he still says, I got a job to do in your life. He keeps coming. He keeps coming. Nicole.
So I was looking at verse 19. For whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. That thing of like, We hate going over the same stuff over and over again. We've dealt with this. Well, why are we back here? And that's part of discipleship. We're gonna do the same stuff with the same people over and over again.
Slow. Repetitive. Repetitive. Consistent. What we're looking for is not the product. We're looking for where we are, our goals, where we are headed. You say, well, no, we're looking for the product. We want to be like him. 1 John says, when we see him, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope inside purifies himself just as he is pure. We don't see him. There is somebody in here that is more faithful to God's commands than you are. Not just his commands, but his goals. The commands are in his goals are together. Then you're going to have to slowly figure out what is your life screaming. And that's what I'm saying. If you're not careful, it's saying, get out of my personal space. Get out of my personal space. You're rude. You're rude. You're rude. You're rude. That's what you're screaming. Some of you are saying it. Some of you are thinking it. None of it is. If Acts 20, if we get there, I don't count my life as worth anything if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. Look at it. I'm in the pains of childbirth, and nobody that has delivered a child, all right, and again, not to pick on, sorry about the C-sections, all right, I don't want one of those either, but the natural way. You delivered a child the natural way. Now you sit and think on that and think, is that how badly I want John David to be complete in Christ? I want Nicole Butler. I want Araceli. I want Seth. Right? Go around the room. That you say, well, I don't know. I can't. How about we just start with one of us? All right? Go ahead. You pick. And then get somebody in here that God picked and think they need to be complete in Christ. Why? Not because you're a busybody, because you're holding his hand. That's what he wants for you and me. It's slow, repetitive, consistent, and painful. Stan?
Yeah, I realize this can't play out in every sense here, but there seems to be something in this passage about how his, and I'm not sure if it's relationship or just depth of relationship that got started, but because of his need, opened up the door for him to preach the gospel to them. And so, with what Jonathan mentioned briefly about being immersed among them, it was even more specific. There was a need, but he wasn't the one serving the need in one sense. He was the need, but he used that as an opportunity to open up with the gospel and then preach to them through whatever that circumstance was. And I realize we can't always look just for needs, but there seems to be with that immersed among them that there's a sense of throughout life's interactions and service that it opens up the opportunity to really focus on the gospel as we focus on meeting real felt. And I hesitate to say that words because of...
We'll take it.
...of the negative side to it, but there were real needs that were being met, and that opened up the door for the Lord's work to go forth.
I'm a little uncomfortable when you have to share a tract with everybody you meet. We need to think. I'm a little uncomfortable with people that don't give tracts anywhere. But I'm a little uncomfortable with, I got to give them a tract. And that's another discussion, right? Most of you aren't on that side. Most of you won't give any tracts. Most of you feel some obligation somewhere that you think, as a Christian, I should say something about Jesus. You see that from even the football players. You know, I thank my God, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to say something like that, some of the World Series guys. You feel some obligation. I'm a little uncomfortable with that too. When you talk about proclaiming the gospel here, see, you're living and you living and showing needs or having needs. You know, showing needs, having needs. We're so afraid of everybody thinking we're needy, and some of us do come across as needy even when we're not trying to show ourselves as needy. We're so afraid of showing ourselves as needy that we're like, no. The Lord is my everything, so let me help you with everything. You don't see that in here. It was something. You know, as we argued, did he have an eye problem or whatever? Whatever it was, something plopped him here among these people, okay? And he had been commissioned to bring the gospel. Now, there is something that Paul had to do that we aren't called to do, all right? We don't have the same calling that Paul did. On the other side, you're going to have to be very careful as you think, what is an apostle there that was specifically seeing Christ given a specific ministry, all right? To go to the Jew first and also the Greek. Then he sent me to the Gentiles. All right, fine. There's something in God's plan of redemption that Paul had to do that we don't. On the other side, 2 Timothy 2:2 and verses like that, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The things you've heard from me. there's something that every Christian, it's going to, because you go, well, he's committing it to leaders, to leaders, to leaders. And what are the leaders doing? Committing it to everybody else. There's something that's all of us should be passing on. Well, so there's no difference in one side between missions, all right? And that's where we're uncomfortable. We've often called missions foreign missions, all right? That's been the problem. Missionaries are not the ones that are called to proclaim the gospel, okay? Christians are called to proclaim the gospel. If we're going to proclaim the gospel cross-continent, okay, there has to be a firm tie and accountability to the rest of the people of God, all right? Because that's what's happened. All we're doing is spreading the charismatic trash. And I'm not saying that every charismatic is not saved. I'm saying there is a sloppiness that comes. And why? In many ways, because, and there's a spectrum here, okay? To the extent that they're following the Spirit, they have new revelation. And that new revelation allows for more independence, all right? Now, when I call that trash, I'm going to say when you and I follow ourselves and we're a little reticent to have anybody talk into our lives, which means we're defensive and we get annoyed and we go back and analyze and we pull back in a way, we're following the same pattern, okay? I call it trash only because watch for the danger, all right, of looking for a feeling from the Spirit that allows you to be able to live outside of the boundaries of God's Word. They don't think they are. I don't know if you and I realize how sloppy we are with God's words. He didn't have any problem remembering all of it. We think, well, I'm trying. Trying doesn't mean we're living inside His Word. Where's our hope? Don't feel false guilt. Just look to Christ. Look to Christ. Confess it. Move on. All right? So you living and showing the needs allows the platform for the gospel focus. When you're in that position, you think, why did God put me here with this person? You go, to share Jesus? No. To love them and then to be able to care about the soul part of them. How do you touch their soul? You said, well, eventually I'll get to Jesus. Yeah. Sometimes you don't get there. You go, well, no, I have to just say Jesus. Okay, fine. Say Jesus and say, I don't have time to get to the other part, but I just, help me. Help me. Where does you and God, where do you connect? Help me out. And if they're uncomfortable with that, you say, hey, seems like that's a rough subject. I don't want to cram it down your throat, but hey, I'm going to get off this elevator in a sec. And I hope somewhere you'd look again. You think about it again. You have to be prepared to be able to care for a soul, not to get your little sticker for giving Jesus out. You work with somebody for 15 years. Don't go to their funeral and think you're respecting them if nowhere along the line you couldn't respect them enough to try to get to their soul. That'll take a long time. A sentence. Not 10. A sentence. I say, God, what do you think? I say, grandmother and God, what do you say? I say, Bible, what do you think? Yeah, somewhere. Just something. I say, the most important things in your life, what are you thinking? All right? It's as simple as that. And you just see where it goes. And don't jump in. They go, my word, they answered. They really want to talk. Don't go jumping all in. Just keep going. Ask another question. And careful on company time. All right, where is it? Araceli, go.
While I was studying the scriptures that you gave us.
Yes, ma'am.
And I came across that the Ephesians 4:14 expressed the truth in all things into Him who is the head. Let us grow up with love all together into Him. Mm-hmm. And we constantly receive this, and constantly receive in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. But the new nature that is in God is the true righteousness. So I reject the falsity. And then at the same time, I'm learning that when I put the things behind, and I read that in the Bible too, what you learn in the past.
Yeah.
Is like me with a Catholic, when actually appreciate more what I'm learning now because of the background that I had, then I can see not that it's right or wrong, but what is the truth. So if we continue speaking, like it says in Ephesians 4:14, express the truth and live in truth. So for this reason, we walk in the life of worthy of the calling of that service with patience.
Work of picking through experience, values,
and bearing with one another, bearing with one another in love.
Say it.
Bearing with one another in love.
Okay. Work of picking through experience, values, and
express the truth in all and, things into him.
Yes, I'm going to come to the values. Wait, say that again.
I say, they express the truth and live in the truth, all things into him who is the head.
Okay. And process of adjusting focus from them to, we're going to call it the head, right?
Yes.
We're going to call that Ephesians 4.
15.
Sorry, Ellie. 14 to 16. Okay, from them to the head with, here, we'll just
put.
It's
not 14, it's 4:15.
Yes, good, 15. Those are my favorite verses. No, some of mine. I'm in the middle of complexity, I'm looking for simplicity. And those of you that are at youth group, that's why I've been having you say that verse over and over. There's many different things we could say, but I think if you thought of what it's like to live Ephesians 4:15 and 16, I think that would give. I don't think that's right in the front of our minds. Like what Jonathan said is what Paul's able to. He keeps going. It's like whatever it is. It's like you smell. You're annoying. You just hurt me. You cut me up. You're judging me. You didn't show up. You didn't. You're saying I have the wrong priorities. It doesn't matter. I still got a job. It doesn't matter. I still got a job. It doesn't matter. I still got a job. All right. What is that job? Ephesians 4:15 and 16 shows you what you should be doing among other believers. That's why you have to be part of a local church. All right? Because there's something God is building that includes not just what he's doing in your life. It includes what he's doing in others that he's redeemed. Okay? So that's adjusting the focus, but doing this with patience and love, all right? Ephesians 3:14 to 19 talks about that needing the power of the Spirit to know the love of God, and that becomes the sphere in which you live. You can't love me the way God does if you're not receiving love from God. His love, okay? So this is the process of picking through, because yes, Araceli, I'll say there's much dangerous in what you were taught. I don't know you well enough. I'd have to listen. And you say, I was taught. The easiest thing to do, and you said, I got to put it away. Yes, you're right. If you hung on to that, then you're going to have to let your hand go a little, which is hard, which is what you're trying to do. On the other side, when you get to the other side, I think you'll go back and go, that one little piece, that was right. That's what's hard. See, when people say, I left the Pike Mennonite, or I left the... If they're not careful, they throw it all out, and they got problems on the other side, which is why they've said Roman Catholics may be messed up, but they still had a fear of God. Now, often it was a scary feel of God, like God's going to get me. But you got to have something. You got to have something. We don't have enough fear of God. That's why we go, I got God, you're wrong. I got God, you're wrong. I got God, you hurt me. Now, if you have back to what Jonathan was saying and what you see here in Galatians, you realize, stop focusing so much on who hurt you. You're being restored by him, and he's teaching you to trust him. Continue. You continue with the people he's placed you with and the hardest ones inside your home. And we're not there yet in here as a church. We're heading there. But the more we head there, the more people think we're wacky. I'll tell you what, but they're also watching us. They're watching us. Can you continue? Don't follow me. Follow God set up. He gave pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. You don't have to build up you and me. I have to build up the we. Right? You go, well, yeah, the we in the world. I can't take on the world. Pray for the other churches that they'll take care of them. Pray for them. Fine, but we're here. You work on it with you and me, her, you and her, right? Work on it. But always changing the focus from them to the head with patience and love. Where is it, John?
I'm going to continue the same vein that's been going on. I will never forget that time that I decided to march down the center aisle of the church during a service. Mm-hmm. As long as I can remember, Papa has had the philosophy of don't turn around, don't cause greater disturbance. If you hear something in the back, it's somebody else's monkey, somebody else's circus. They'll take care of it. His worst fear came true that day when the monkey was his monkey and it was all of a sudden his circus. And in verse 19, Paul says, my children, which as far as I can tell from very quick reading and research, is the only time he says that. He makes them his monkey, his circus. There are problems with legalism, and he says, wow. I'm afraid that my preaching has been in vain. He makes their problems his own. And so then, but then in the same way, in a slightly less way, but the same way, he comes to them while he's sick. And this is a wonderful time of year to talk about that because everybody's sick.
Right.
You come into this place and they welcome him with open arms. They listen to what he has to say while he's recovering. While he wasn't even necessarily intending to come here, he was supposed to be in another city. And he comes to them and he preaches to them. And so they own his problems just like he is owning their problems. And so it takes a lot of owning other people's problems and mistakes.
And Sheldon was very honest last week to say that. When I read Knit Together in Love and look at my wife's blanket, Sheldon is more committed than he's ever been committed to a group. Sheldon is more under authority than he's ever been. He was under external authority in other churches, which he threw off. He's allowing his soul to be messed with in ways he's never let before. He's the one that said, do you hear in what he said last week? In his saying, there's parts I don't want to be knit together. By him just saying that, he's realizing God wants something more from me. Yeah, there you go. And that's what we're saying. You got a vertical problem. You got a vertical problem in here if you're not able to own these Christians. You go, well, I was with those Christians. Those Christians aren't bad. Okay, good. But you're here now with these Christians. You deal with these Christians. You go, well, I think this one, this one, this one, this one. You're right. Now get closer and think again. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes you're wrong. But even if you're right, he goes, I was thrown in here. This isn't just a one-way street. It's not just you helping them. They need to be able to see into your life. So stop cleaning it all up before they walk in the house. There is something about being respectful, and fine, that's fine. I get it. You can straighten up a little. On the other side, don't hide it. When it's like, this isn't normally like this, and I wish it wasn't like that, but it is. And you leave it. Was there somebody else? We're done. I'm done. All right, mics are done. Lord Jesus, would you help us? There's so much in here. And while I encourage people to read books just because we don't get enough time with each other, and it's nice when we're home and the cracks, to just read a couple pages and realize we have another fellow believer in the room with us. I was to be careful and to come back and talk with each other about these books or sermons or things, but to be slow and realize the extent we don't know each other, there's a lot. And here comes Paul. Yes, because of a bodily thing, he's pulled out of one place, put in with these people, and automatically he's asking God, why did you put me with these people? They need the gospel. And they do come to the gospel. And he continues what he's doing with the other churches, with these people. Help us, Lord, to stop looking for a product. Start looking at our focus. And when we build relationships with people, would you help us to build them with Christ as the head and as the goal. Would you help us slowly to grow in all aspects to him who is the head, even Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.